Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. All right, it's time to talk a little bit about the market. Mike Bondra will join us, the stock market's... Of course, trade war. I mean, you might as well call it what it is. It's a trade war going on right now. So there's a lot of response. And the market is giving and taking away and giving and taking away. But it's been giving an awful lot. I look at what the Dow Jones was at in 2000. It was 1150 or 1100 and 11, pardon me, 11,500, the index anyway. What was that, 20 in 2000? 25 years later, it's grown to 37,700. So the markets are strong, but they're struggling here a little bit. All right, with these tariffs and trade negotiations and renegotiations and threats and whatever, chips on the table sort of thing, the markets have responded. They respond to financial news, inputs. Does it always make sense? I don't know. It doesn't to me, but that's why we got a friend called Mike Bondra, named Mike Bondra, who is a certified financial planner here and joins us on Voices of Montana to kind of talk about what is an appropriate response in the market and those simple questions, Mike, about how do I know? What do I need to do sort of thing? How you been, sir?
I've been good, Tom. Thanks for having me back. I always love joining you folks.
Yeah, it's great to chat with you as well. So you've been good. I mean, haven't you been getting phone calls? Aren't you answering emails? Is it a little chaotic in the world?
It is. Yeah, things have definitely been dialed up over here at my little shop. But, I think I'm blessed to have just phenomenal clients, or maybe I just have them really well trained. I don't know. But my phone is, definitely lit up a little bit more than normal. My emails are a little heightened stress in each email, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It seems like most people are fairly level-headed, and we're watching the situation very carefully with the markets and the economy. But a big part of my job, honestly, I had a sweet old gal call yesterday. She's a widow, and she called and she said, I just need a little bit of financial therapy. I would have run this by Gary. Her husband passed about a year ago, but she's like, I'm going to get this from you, Mike. And I was like, that's great. Financial therapy. That's a great way to put it.
Well, yeah, we need that right now too. And that's probably all this uncertainty, right? I mean, it's hard to know which direction to go. And, there's probably an opportunity here, but you got to be careful about this industry there. How do you help us deal with this uncertainty?
Yeah, so I think that what you need to do, I think the best way to approach this is to kind of try to gain perspective. It's pretty easy to get a little bit of tunnel vision, right? And we read the headlines and we come to immediate conclusions, and then we extrapolate out those conclusions. And it can be a vicious cycle. And so I'm staring at a chart of crises and major headline events going back to the 1970s. And, so you think back and you go, okay, got a big trade war right now, but then a little while ago was the Hamas attacks, and before that it was the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, and before that it was a once in a generation inflation and interest rate debacle. Before that it was COVID, and it really wasn't that long ago where we had ISIS attacks, and we had some significant things happen in the European banking crisis in the range of 2015. And in a little few years before that, Lehman Brothers files for bankruptcy, and it sets off one of the greatest recessions in U.S. economic history. And, I look at the chart like this. I call it the wall of fear, right? And yet, in the backdrop of this same chart, you see the Dow Jones, and it just steadily 10.8%. just kind of marches up, right? The stock market just kind of marches, and it's got its bumps and bruises along the way, but there's always going to be a headline that's going to kind of pulse fear through the population. But it's about staying focused on the right things, keeping perspective, keeping your goals in mind. I think those things are the most important, Tom.
You know, and I look at, and I just pulled up a chart here from the Dow Jones. I went back to 1990 on it. Love AI. It helps me get a lot of these rather quickly. So the Dow was 2,800 in 1990. You go 35 years later, it is more, like you said, 10 times that value. But you go to, you noted some of those peaks. There was the dot-com bubble in 2000. Mm-hmm. So in 10 years, that market went from 28 to 11,500. This is the Dow, but the NASDAQ, that was a 10 times increase. Looks like the S&P was three times. And then, you know, a decade later, it has lost value because in 2010, you had a recession. But, you know, that bounce back since then has been rather dramatic. We have heard, and I got a couple minutes left, and maybe we pick this up on the other side as well. But I have heard, and you and I have talked about the stock market probably being overvalued, especially when it comes to the earnings rating on that. There's a normal kind of a correction period. I've read it's 1.5% every 18 months or something like that. You probably have more accurate information on that. How do we keep all of that in context here as we're walking through this real life situation?
Yeah. So honestly, I was talking to my wife about this here a few days ago. I feel more confident now about our stock market over the next 24 months than I did at the beginning of the year. Huh. We had such heightened valuations of these companies coming into the year post the elections last November, Tom. I was so uncomfortable with that. And we're long-term investors. I help long-term investors. Yeah. So I wasn't taking those valuations and jumping to any conclusions, but I was uncomfortable with it. Today, those valuations are way closer to normal, healthy, historical averages. So even though the market's down 15% year-to-date, I'm more optimistic than I was 3 months ago. So it's a little bit of a, are you looking through the rearview mirror or are you looking through the windshield, right, to determine your outlook on things?
Mike Vondra joins us, and welcome, Mike. I appreciate you being here again as we get back to the program. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. So clarity, Mike. I'm not sure that's a word that I can employ right now when it comes to the stock market, but people are certainly seeking those sorts of things. We kind of got into some of the data a little bit about the price to earnings ratio. I'm not sure we threw any real data out there about it. That number had been out of whack, I guess. I wouldn't really call it a correction. It's certainly a response to a trade war that we've got going on. I want to throw some questions out there too about debt reduction and how that might help the country. But as we seek clarity in our markets and businesses, you know, they really rely on consistency and clarity for these types of things. Help us understand volatility. And I've been looking at the silver market, and everything I read about the silver market, everybody reminds me almost every time, don't ever forget, the silver market's highly volatile market. What does volatility mean?
Yeah, so this is a great question because we can actually give like very clear answers on this. So when I think about volatility, I think about price drops. You don't really think of volatility in both directions, right? But really, volatility does work both ways, both positively and negatively. But I think what we need to prepare ourselves for is the negative side. The positive side's an easy one to stomach, but the stock market, I need everyone to understand that going back over about the last 100 years, 120 years, the S&P 500 has declined more than 10% 117 times. This is now the 118th decline in 120 years. What does that tell you? About once a year, this happens. You have a bear market. Bear market's a decline of 20% or more. We've had 33 of those. Now, we haven't quite hit bear market on the S&P 500 this year. The lowest point was about negative 17, negative 18%. That occurred kind of on Monday. And then right now it's down about 15% year to date. But those there have been 33 of those bear markets over the past 120 years. And so that's about one out of every 3 years that a bear market occurs. And we haven't had one since 2022. That was kind of the inflation-created market panic or whatever you want to call it. So volatility is very, very normal. Now, here's the problem, Tom. People start to kind of go, well, I'm going to try to avoid this. I want to talk about missing the good days in the market, because this is not only do you need to absorb the good days in the market, not only do you need to be able to absorb the good days in the market, but you need to be able to stomach the bad days. But for an investor, since if you started investing about 40 years ago in the S&P 500, your per year rate of return was about 10.1% per year. Okay, that's a great rate of return. If you missed the 10 best days in the market in the last 40 years, your return per year got shaved, a 3% shaving off of that return. You dropped from a 10 to a 7. If you missed the 20 best days in the market, 20 days in 40 years, your return per year dropped to 5.4%, about half. 20 days in 40 years. And 90% of the time, this is a startling statistic, actually about 91% of the time, the best days in the market are within 1 week of the worst days in the market.
Hmm.
Why is that? Why would that occur? Why would the best days be butt up against the worst days? Well, it's because those worst days are hallmarked by fear and emotions. And there's kind of a counter-cyclical nature to fear and emotions, in that we kind of sober up and go, I probably overdid it. And then we reverse cycle on some of those decisions. And so my main urge to investors and clients is, number one, get the right portfolio going into the storm. But then number two, understand how to batten down the hatches and survive those really bad days, because it's very likely there's going to be some very good days tucked very close in proximity to the bad ones. Does that make sense, Tom?
Oh, yeah, sure it does. And it's a great perspective when you throw that out there. 90% of the time, the some of the best days are within, what'd you say, a 10-day period or something to that effect?
Within 1 week.
One week period, yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, and that's what makes the market kind of thrilling, but also, you know, there's a lot of risk in it. Let me ask this question, too, and you can continue in this vein, too, about average returns and things like that. Where does that money go? If it's not in the stock market, then it does go somewhere, doesn't it? And so there's opportunity in that, I suppose.
Yeah, so it's almost like we plan this. So yeah, Tom, a lot of the time when people are pulling money out of the stock market, they're pulling capital out, they're selling an asset, they're selling an investment. Where are they going with it? Well, first off, they're going to the sideline with it. They're going to cash, right? They're going to go sit in cash, savings, checking, whatever. And then it will flow different directions from there. Bond market is a huge beneficiary of stock market sell-offs. Bond market this year is up just a little bit, which is really encouraging to see. Last major market downturn we had of 2022, the bond market was down at the same time. That was really disappointing. Yeah. Right now, the bond market's actually up. It's acting as a really nice ballast against the very volatile stock market. That is what you've seen historically. We just didn't see that in 2022, so that was disappointing. We are seeing it this year. You see flows of capital into metals. You see flows of capital into treasuries and other kind of safe instruments, municipal bonds. And so, like, if you're holding capital in those classes, then you're a net beneficiary of those inflows in there, because it's going to press the price up of bonds. It's going to press the pricing up on treasuries. It's going to press the pricing up on metals. So if you had proper exposure to those other asset classes going into this, you're actually seeing parts of your wealth infrastructure go up while the equities, the stock part of your balance sheet is receding and going down.
And that was, it was stumpifying, if I can put it that way, in 2022, when when we didn't see that, it worked in a reciprocal way. And so there's always something to learn in that regard. Mike Vondra, again, certified financial planner, third generation financial planner, as a matter of fact. Grandpa started the business years ago. His dad was involved. You probably recognize the name as well. I'm going to throw this at you, Mike. Chris in Columbia Falls calling in. He says he has a different perspective for you. So that's what we're kind of about. Chris, thanks. You're on the air here on Voices with Mike Vondra.
Yeah, thanks. You know, your plight is similar to most of our plight out here. We get the money. The stock market, in my opinion, it runs on pure emotion. I mean, it really, the emotion is different than what we are paying out here. For instance, property tax and other things where the money is going. Most of us don't have the kind of money to go into the stock market. And for everyone's opinion, you know, it's difficult to find the money to get into something that might be lucrative, you know, for the average citizen. And that's because, you know, the structure of the government is so obtrusive, you know, especially now I hear property taxes on the shelf, you know. So what do you do? It is presently too big, and when the government is so big, they come in through the back door and they take your money before you even get so you can invest it in sensible things that maybe they could possibly be in the stock market or other sources as well.
I'm going to take it from there, Chris.
I'm
going to run out of time, so I'm going to take it from there. Mike, so that perspective, again, to respond, we don't have money to make major moves, so to speak, like some of those day traders do. What's your response to that perspective? Emotion. You said it. Is it 50% emotion? Is it 80% emotion? Or is it on X day 100% emotion and the next day 70%? Whatever. What about that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, researchers would suggest that with any market movement, that somewhere right around 60 to 65% of the momentum of the market could be tied to cognitive or emotional momentum. So, but I'll just respond to what Chris was saying. I think he's totally right. And if Scott Bessent or Trump were on the line with us, they would be like, "You're darn right. We're fighting this battle, you know, and we don't care if Wall Street is taking one into the teeth here. We're doing this for the everyman. We're doing this for Main Street." And, you know, that's been a headline they've been, you know, really pushing here for the past, you know, several weeks with this tariff war is, yeah, the stock market's going to fall, but they're not worried about the stock market. They're worried about the U.S. economy. They're worried about returning jobs and manufacturing and stuff to the United States. And I have to be honest, I don't know. I'm not an economist. I don't know. I think there's some theory there that could be true. I want to be open-minded about it. I'm a free market guy, and so tariffs are, I don't think, in great alignment. It seems like an exterior force that wouldn't just be in alignment with free markets. But I have to admit that I don't know. And I am open-minded. I would love to see Main Street strengthen, the middle class strengthen due to this. I'd like to see rising income for the middle class. I'd like to see more jobs and more manufacturing back here in the United States. And I think all of us would. And if you could say, okay, this can be 3 months of a ton of pain to right-size some of the international trade deals that we have, I think a lot of us would potentially get on board with that. I think it's the uncertainty of how much pain and for how long. I think that the uncertainty with those questions is what's really causing a lot of psychological damage right now to folks.
Yeah. How much and how long? I've got just a last question here too, Mike. As I've been searching around to try and find some perspective, I've been looking at different authors and analysts and both from the right side and the left side, and maybe there's not enough in the middle. But is there somebody, and I'll talk about this tomorrow, Tanvi Ratna, someone who I am a Substacker that I'm going to talk about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But who do you read, or who do you trust, or what have you read that explains in plain language what this these tariffs and this trade war is all about?
Yeah, I mean, well, I would just say, honestly, like, calling, if you do have a financial advisor, that's a great place to turn. We're paid to, like, know the facts and be able to translate the climate into layman's terms and just talk to these families that we've been entrusted to. So call your advisor or call a advisor, get a referral for one if you don't have one. There's some phenomenal financial podcasts out there that I'd recommend. I really like the book by Morgan Housel. It's called The Psychology of Money. And for anybody who's curious about just kind of how we're wired as it relates to money and finances, that's a really great one to talk to. I also think, like, at the end of the day, when we're talking about money and finance, Tom, I think we're talking about a deeply emotional thing. And I could even almost say it's like almost a spiritual thing, like mm-hmm. where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
It ought to so be. If it's, I mean,
if you're troubled by this, like, you don't have to reach out to a financial expert. You could reach out to your pastor. You could reach out to some sort of spiritual mentor, somebody who you can get good fruit from. Like, we need to be well, and if these are idols, golly, let's tear them down and get our perspective back in the right place.
Yeah, I can appreciate that message too, just because that's a foundation, you know, and that's something that is constant. I would think that that's what you advise people, or people could be advised to be foundational in your thinking about
exactly.
these things. Yeah, yeah. And
amen.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. You know, and I also appreciate we don't give out your phone number or your website or things like that. We're just here to chat about this, and the expertise is valuable to us all. So thank you for that, Mike.
Absolutely, Tom. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm not doing this for business sake. I just truly love this program and the audience that you have, and hope that people can get a little nugget of encouragement from this and perspective. So happy to come on whenever you need me.
It serves that purpose well. So thank you, Mike, for that. And I appreciate you for that because, you know, like you say, it is emotional.
Yeah.
You know, from 0% to 100% in no time flat, too.
Yes,
Mike Vondra, thanks. Be well, okay? We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.